Today's a little bit special because normally children start in groups across the way and then they join us towards the end. Today is kind of more of an all-in family meeting. So it's going to be pretty relaxed. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love shown by dying on a cross for us. And we say again that we didn't deserve it, but we thank you for your amazing grace. Amen. Do sit down, everyone. Now, hands up, who likes parties? That's most people, I think. That's most people. Now, what are your favourite things about parties? What's your favourite food? What are your favourite games? Who's got a favourite thing about parties? What's your favourite thing about party? What's your favourite thing?
Seeing your friends.
Seeing your friends, good thing about parties. Who's got a favourite thing about a party? Anyone got favourite things? You got favourite games? Favourite games, what?
Everything.
Everything about parties is just brilliant. Who's got a favourite thing? I don't know what's going on there.
The games.
Has anyone got any favourite games? Have you got a favourite game? What were you going to say then?
I like the food in the parties.
You like the food in, but is there a particular food that you like?
Not really, just all of it.
Do you like the little sausages on sticks?
Yeah.
I thought you might. Who likes party rings? Is there anyone here who likes one or two people like, not everyone though, that means there'll be plenty to go round to those who do. Anyone else at the back, are there things about parties that you really like, that you just wanted to mention? Favourite things about parties? Anyone here, favourite thing about a party, what do you like about parties? Nothing you're going to tell us about, okay. Well, here is the thing. Jesus says that heaven will be like a party. And we think following Jesus might be a little bit like going to the dentist. You know, we know it's good for us, but it's not something we really want to do. It's not something we're very excited by. Jesus says, no. Following him is like going to a party. And way back in the Old Testament, God said he was making plans for a huge party. And one day he would come and he would invite everyone. All people from all nations would come to his party. And instead of fighting, there would be feasting. And everyone would be friends with one another and friends with God. And it would be brilliant. And the people of Jesus' day were really looking forward to that party. And one time, Jesus is at supper with some people, and there's a man there who's really trying to impress Jesus, and he says, won't God's party be wonderful? And Jesus says, yes, it will be wonderful, but the question is, will you be there? And that's the question for today and over the next few weeks. It will be wonderful, the party, but who will be there? And you see, we've been brought up to believe that the sort of people who will be at God's party are good people. The sort of people who don't get into trouble at school. The sort of people who help raise money for charity. The sort of people who come to church. The sort of people who come from Christian families. They're the sort of people, we think, who will be at the party. And what we'll see is that Jesus says a very striking thing. He says, that's not how it works. Let's listen to what he says as Emma Galton comes to read from God's word.
The reading is taken from page 1048, the parable of the great banquet, chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who eats at the feast at the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to all those who had been invited. Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I have just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of a town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
Thank you very much, Emma. Well, a little bit later, we're going to look some more at what Jesus says about God's party. Those who are staying, have a turn back to Luke chapter 14, page 1048. Luke chapter 14, page 1048. Just make sure you've got one hula hoop on each finger, and then you'll be ready. Not one party ring on each finger, I think that... Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Our gracious God, we thank you that you've not left us guessing about what you're like or what you want of us. We thank you that you've given us your word. And we pray now that by your Spirit you'd help us to understand what you're saying and help us to hear and help us to obey. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a friend who is having an ice skating party and you really, really want to go, what do you need? What do you need? You might need ice skates. You, if you've got some, that's great. But that wouldn't necessarily mean you could go to the party, would it? Just because you had ice skates. What do you really, really need to go to the party? An invitation. You absolutely have to have an invitation. Otherwise, there's no way you can get to the party. And we're thinking this afternoon about an invitation to a party. Now, I'm not very good at using PowerPoint, so I never know whether it's on the screen behind me or not. So, there it is. An invitation to a party. The man in the story that Emma read earlier is having a huge party, so he sends out an invitation. And it says, please come to my party, Saturday the 8th of July. And people would reply to the invitation, and they would say, yes, we'd love to come. And then they would stick the invitation on their notice board in the kitchen to remind them to keep Saturday, the 8th of July, free. And then in Jesus' day, on the day of the party, the person giving the party would send servants into the village to call the guests to come. You see, they didn't have microwaves in those days to sort of heat everything up just on time. They would have had to kill a calf and cook it over an open fire. Now, I was once at a party where they cooked a whole pig over an open fire on a spit, on a stick that went round and round and round. And it took them 10 hours to do it. And we were all standing around waiting and waiting and getting hungrier and hungrier and eating more and more crisps until eventually the cook said it was ready. And we all lined up with our plates and we had some of the pork. And what they did in Jesus' day was so that everyone didn't have to stand around eating crisps, they sent someone round the village to say, we've been preparing the food all day long, and now it's ready. So you can come to the party. It's ready. Come and eat. And you'd think they'd all be itching to go. They'd had this invitation to a fantastic party, and they'd all said yes, and they were all keeping the day free, but do you remember what happened? Now it's all ready. One by one, they made excuses. They said, actually, we're not going to come after all. Thank you. And Jesus is saying, we've been invited to God's party. And all through the Old Testament, he was making preparations. And now Jesus has come and it's ready. So come and be part of it. And you'd think we'd all drop whatever we were doing and run. Invitation to the greatest party this universe will ever see. But it turns out we end up making excuses. Let's look at some of the excuses that the people in the story made. Let's look at each excuse. Excuse number one, look at verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Now, what do you think of that? Was that a good excuse or a poor excuse? People are saying it's a poor excuse. Why do you think it's a poor excuse?
Because he could see the field after the party. The field can wait.
The field could wait. He could see the field another day. The field wasn't going away. Absolutely. Any other ideas? Why do you think it was a poor excuse? I've just bought a field and I need to go and check it. Go on. Have you got an idea?
Well, it's not like a fox is going to have invaded it before he gets back. So he doesn't need to check on it.
It's not like a fox is going to have invaded it. You got any ideas why it's a poor excuse?
Because, I've forgotten.
You've forgotten. Well, what would you say to a friend of yours who had said they were going to come to your party, and on the morning of your party, you see them at school and say, you're all ready for my party this afternoon? And they say, oh, actually, I can't come anymore because I've bought some new football boots, and this afternoon I need to spend some time trying them on to see if they fit. What would you say to them? What would you say to them?
Can't the football boots wait for a bit?
Yeah, the football boots could wait for a bit, couldn't you? You could, but more bizarrely still, they should have tried them on before they bought them. Nobody in the ancient world would have bought a field without checking it first. You can find records of people documenting what was in a field. Every tree and every hole was recorded. People had records of everyone who owned the field, everything those owners had ever done in the field. You do not buy fields unless you check them. You do not buy football boots without trying them on first. So what's our verdict? Good excuse or poor excuse? Poor excuse. It's a poor excuse. What he's really saying is, when he says, I must go and see it, well, he doesn't really need to go and see it. It's just that his field has become more important to him than going to his friend's party. Excuse number two. Let's have a look at this one. Verse 19. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. What does our panel think again? A good excuse or a poor excuse? Okay, we're all saying there's a rumble of poor excuses. Why do you think it's a poor excuse? So someone further at the back here, everyone's quite bright and lively at the front. Anyone at the back, why do we think it's a poor excuse? Tim Corner. He could have tried the oxen out before he bought them. Indeed, he should have tried the oxen out before he bought them. Imagine I came home to my wife, Claire, and said, I've bought a car today, and so I'm not going to be able to have dinner with you because I've got to go and see whether it works. The bloke said it was a lovely runner, but, you know, I haven't seen it yet. Be very odd, wouldn't it? You don't buy a car without trying it out. You don't buy oxen without trying them first. And in the ancient world, people would have watched the oxen in use. They would have gone to the market and they would have had someone try them and watch them to see if they walked in a straight line. Nobody buys oxen and then tries them out. This is a very poor excuse. What he's really saying is the oxen are more important to him than going to his friend's party. Third excuse, verse 20. Tricky one, this. Still another said, I've just got married, so I can't come. And there she is, there's a bride, and he's saying, really, I need to go home and help her walk the dog. What do you think? Good excuse or poor excuse? Well, we're saying, listen, take us for poor excuse. Why do you think it's a poor excuse? It was good to go and spend some time with your wife. Isn't that a good thing? But why do you think it's a poor excuse?
Why couldn't the person he or she was married with come too?
Well, yes, there's every evidence that this chap is a generous host. Surely the wife would have been able to come too. Any other thoughts as to why it's a poor excuse? Oh, sorry, I can't come. I've just got married. Any other thoughts? Go on.
He may have been planning to get married, so he probably known when he got the invitation.
Well, he probably didn't just get married all of a sudden that morning, did he? Oh, suddenly got married this morning, whoops. He would have known he was getting married. He said yes to the invitation. And in one village, you wouldn't have a marriage and a party all on in the same week. He would have got married with plenty of time before the party to be ready for the party. No, he's just using wanting to spend time with his wife as an excuse because he doesn't really want to be at the party with his friend. And people listening to Jesus telling this story would have been so shocked at the rudeness of these people. Because when the invitation first came out, they all said yes. Yes, they would come to the party. But when it comes to it, they all make poor excuses. Why? Well, the truth was that other things had become more important to them. They weren't going around saying, of course, I don't really like that man who's holding that party. They weren't going around saying, well, you know, we've thought about it, and actually we don't believe there is a party. Just other things had become more important. And you see what happens? Verse 24. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Now, I need a volunteer. And I need someone who's quite big and quite strong. You come to the front. Tell us your name.
Lily.
Are you quite big and quite strong?
Yes.
And are you quite busy, Lily? Do you like doing lots of things? Okay, well, I've got some things that I want you to be busy doing. I don't know whether you're a footballer, but I'm going to say you are a footballer. So you hold the football for me. And I've got a feeling that you're quite musical. Hold the football for me. You're quite musical, so I'm going to give you a violin to hold. Brilliant. Now, do you like reading books? I bet you do. So here are some books to hold. Can you just hold these books for me? You mustn't drop anything, okay? I'd be very upset if you drop anything. That's a very, very expensive. Got it on. And you're quite artistic, aren't you? So you probably like... Hey, do you like painting? Yes, well, can you hold those just carefully? And now, Lily, I expect you... have you ever done a bit of acting, a bit of theatre? So you need a little hat like that. That's brilliant. Don't drop anything. Do you like making things? I think you like making things. So there's a... Can you just hold that thing? Let that go in there, perhaps? Don't drop the very expensive violin. Don't drop the violin. Now, do you ever sort of do jobs to earn pocket money sometimes? Do you like a bit of pocket money? So we need to hold a wallet there. And... Okay. Now, do you like friends? Have you got any friends you like spending time with? You guys all drinking tea with them? And very expensive violin and quite... Okay, have you got all these things? Now, where's my man who should be doing his thing? Yeah, there we go, brilliant. I need you to hold this mug. Can you hold this mug somehow? Oh. Now, there's a phone ringing. I know who that'll be. It'll be Jim ringing for you, because he said he was going to ring you and invite you to his ice skating party. Now, in order to come to Jim's ice skating party, what do you need to do? Well, you're going to have to do something, aren't you? Because how are you going to answer the phone? Can you answer the phone without dropping any of those things? You can't very well. What are you going to have to do? It's still going. See, he's waiting. I would hate you to miss the party. What are we going to have to do? What are we going to have to do? Somehow gets up. But no, he really wants to speak to you personally because he wants to know whether.
Someone else to hold the things.
So what are you going to do with the things?
Someone else to hold them.
So what are you going to do with them?
Someone
You're going to have to give them some. You're going to have to get rid of them, okay? Can you get rid of some of the things? I'll get rid of some of the things. Let's get rid of some of the things. And now, can you answer the phone? I don't know about mobile phones, you probably have to press the green button, do you? And is he there?
Hello, Lily.
Hello.
Can you come to our skating party?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. Big round of applause for you.
Didn't drop the violin. Brilliant. In order to answer the phone, to reply to the invitation, you had to put something down. And Jesus is saying there is a danger that we miss out on the party, not because we've looked at all the evidence for Jesus and decided it's not true and there's no party. Very often our reasons for not coming are not particularly thought through. They're just excuses. Other things just seem more important. Time is taken up with football training. Things are busy at work. The builders are in. We're worried about what people will think of us. Our hands are full. And a lot of people say, I'd like to come to the party. I'm just the sort of person God would invite to his party. I even go to church, but they've not actually joined in. They've not actually responded because other things have become more important. Their hands are full. And answering Jesus' call will mean there is something they have got to put down. And the trouble is they don't want to put anything down. They're not really sure they want to do that. So here's the question. What is it that you're holding on to that's stopping you from picking up the phone to answer Jesus' call? What is it you need to put down? Be dreadful to miss out on the best party the universe has ever seen just because we thought other things were more important. So we see there's an invitation to a party. There are the excuses that we make, and finally, we see the kindness of God, or to use our technical term from earlier, the grace of God, the kindness of God. All these people miss out because they don't respond to the call. But God wants people to enjoy his party. So look at verse 21. The servant came back and reported that to his master, and then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. And, you know, Jesus' listeners would have just about fallen off their chairs hearing this. What sort of host was this? What sort of a host fills his house with the lame and the crippled and the poor and the blind? What will the neighbors think? And the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and you can read some of this in things like the Dead Sea Scrolls, said that lame people and blind people and crippled people wouldn't be invited to God's feast. They said to be invited to God's feast, you had to be good. You had to be worthy. You had to deserve it. And that's why the servant has to, do you see, make them come in. Because they're thinking there must be some mistake. The host can't want us at his party. We'll lower the tone. I mean, we haven't got anything to wear. We haven't got anything to bring. We're never going to be able to pay him back for inviting us. And the servant has to say, no, I promise you, the master has invited you to his party. He wants you to come. He does. And it may be that the reason we've not come to the party is not because we think other things are more important, but because we can't really believe that God wants us. After what we've done, after what's happened to us, we don't think we're good enough to be invited. We don't think we're the sort of people who will fit in with God's party. And you see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that the God of the Bible is not like other people who give parties. See, other people, they want trendy guests because it makes them look trendy. And it means they might get invited back to trendy parties in the future. But the God of the Bible's not like that. He's like the host in the story. He's not fussed about what the neighbours think. He's not inviting people because he wants something off them. Like a box of After Eights, you know, or a nice bottle of wine, flowers. The God of the Bible is just very, very kind. And he wants everyone to come to his party. Because he wants everyone to share his food and his drink. And he says, whoever you are, whatever you have done, I want you to come to my party. I want you to sit at table with me. So back to our question. Who gets into God's party? We think a lot like the religious leaders of Jesus' day. We think the good people get in and the bad people get shut out. And Jesus says it doesn't work like that. I have here, what have I got? 50p. Who would like to have 50p? Who would like 50p? 50p you could spend on chocolates or magazine, you know, comics, things like that. Anyone like 50p? Not everyone. Some people would like 50p, okay? Here is my invitation. The first person who walks up to me and asks me for it can have it. Ah, nobody really wants the 50p then. of course you can have the 50p. Now, did everyone understand the invitation? Did you understand what I was saying? I think you probably did. It wasn't difficult. But only Lily got it. Only Lily is enjoying 50p. Only Lily will go out on Monday and buy... what do you buy with your 50p's? Mars bar or something like that. Why did Lily get the money? Was it because Lily was better than anyone else? Was it because Lily was worse than anyone else? Didn't come into it. She just left her chair and came. You see, if you want to enjoy that 50p, it wasn't enough just to understand the invitation. I understand that Mike is the sort of bloke who gives 50p away. You've got to get up and take it. Who got the 50p? The person who responded to the invitation. Who gets into God's party? It's not about being good or bad. It's about whoever you are, whatever you're like, have you responded to the invitation? We must close. Jesus' point is this. There are people who know all about the party, like the man he was having supper with. They like the idea of it, but they've not actually joined in. And some people don't join in because they think they're too bad. They think God will never even invite me. And Jesus says, of course he will invite you. Come on in, join the party. And there are other people who haven't joined in because they think they're good. And they understand all about the party. And they've got the invitation on their shelf at home. And they go to church every week. And they come from a Christian family, and they think, of course, that party is for people like me. But they've never actually joined in with the party. Just having the invitation on the shelf doesn't get you into the party. Just saying you will come doesn't get you into the party. The only way to get to the party is to get up and go to it. To drop what you're doing, to say, I'm not going to let fields or oxen or a wife or what people think of me or my career or anything stop me from coming to the party. I'm going to join in because it's the most important thing I could ever do. Now, I can't see into people's hearts. Obviously, I can't. But I wonder if there's anyone here this afternoon and you're thinking, I've got the invitation, but it's on the shelf. I've said that I wanted to come, but in your heart, you know you've never really joined in. Today would be a great day to join in with the party, to come and get the 50p. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to close with a prayer. And if it's a good prayer for you to pray, echo it in your heart. So as we sit, let's pray. Lord, thank you for inviting me to your party. I realize you didn't invite me because I was good or because I was bad. You just invited me because you are very kind. And from now on, I'm going to stop making excuses. I'm going to come to your party. I'm going to join in. Amen. Amen. What we often do after the talk is we just spend a couple of moments giving ourselves the chance to reflect on what we've been hearing about from God's Word. Questions to think through for ourselves, or questions we might want to chat through with the person sitting next to us. There's a couple of questions going to come up on the screen. What do we have to do to get into God's party? Are you making any excuses that are stopping you from coming to the party? Just have a think on that, perhaps alone, or if you're with someone who looks friendly, talk those questions through with them. Remember, it's not exam conditions. We're allowed to confer. Just a couple of minutes to do that, and then we'll pray together. Okay?